All right, cool.
And we're live. Welcome back, everybody. It's another one of these evening interviews that I'm doing with some awesome people that I know and work with. And today, I'm excited to have with me the wonderful, charismatic, and extremely helpful Brian Galt, who's a fellow high performance coach, certified high performance coach. And today, we are going to be focusing on our energy. So not some people talk about energy, but specifically about how to keep our energy up all day long so that we can get done all the things that we want to do. So I used to have the 2 to 3 o'clock drag where everything was fine, tra-la-la-la-la, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to die, right? And you've completely faceplant. No one likes that. So Brian can talk about many things, but the one thing he's going to share with us are strategies to avoid the overwhelm in our days. Brian, thank you for joining me and my wonderful listeners on this, well, it's cloudy, but still warm in Canada, Monday night.
Nice. Yeah, thanks for having me, Rebecca. I'm pumped.
Oh, me too. We're always pumped. Okay, so tell me, of all the strategies that you have used so far to keep your energy up and to just make sure that you don't fade off during the day or get distracted. Yeah. What do you think is the one that you found the most helpful, both for yourself and or the clients you've helped so far?
My biggest go-to, as well as my clients, has just been breaking at least once an hour, Rebecca. I think there's so much pressure, especially in corporate America, to do these back-to-back meetings. And, you know, Zoom fatigue is real. I remember when I kind of hit that Zoom fatigue brick wall a couple of months ago, I think it was kind of late to the game. And I was like, oh my God, this sucks, right? This is really real. Mm-hmm. So the key becomes like, if you're so busy, then how do you recharge? And just to take a break once an hour has just been huge. I know the world's largest ever productivity study done. It was done via a mobile app. I don't remember the name of the mobile app, but it was over 500,000, over 500,000 data points. And they studied how often and for how long do the world's highest performance, most productive people take breaks? And the answer was once every 52 minutes. And the average length, by the way, was like 17 minutes, which I thought was a little bit odd. I mean, most of my breaks, I unfortunately can't afford that luxury. But you know what? I do take some longer extended breaks too, but most of my breaks are like 3-4 minutes. But just the simple practice of standing up, closing my eyes. And that's so important because much of your brain's caloric outtake is tied to your sight. And most people, right? Yeah. And most people, right? Especially if they're in front of their computer screens all day long every day, that's why they're so exhausted, right? Have you ever felt like, oh my God, my eyes, I just want to rip out my eyes, right? They're burning, they're hurting because that your energy tied to your brain is all tied to your sight. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So closing your eyes.
What you're telling me is my eyeballs are making me tired.
Absolutely. Especially when they're stuck open all day, right? So if you just take the time to close them, it's like rebooting that Windows operating system, right? Or it's rebooting that computer, that supercomputer. And it's also helping to deal with the negative stress hormones. And it also helps to then release some positive neurotransmitters in your body, otherwise known as those happy drugs, right? Serotonin, dopamine, et cetera. And especially you combine that with taking like 10 deep breaths. You know, there's so many great, just go on YouTube, right? And search, you know, Wim Hof or breathing techniques or, you know, meditation techniques. But a lot of the meditation encompasses breathing and just reoxygenating your body, right? Because oxygen is literally just exactly that. It's life for your body. And that also helps to reset your body and gives you that fresh jolt of energy. It's not like we can't plow through, right? I mean, we can all plow through, right? You know, some people say to me, Brian, I'm in the zone, man. I'm in the zone. I'm just cruising. I'm crushing. I'm like, but the magic, you're the one with the magic. So get up, take a break, go get a drink of water, stretch, you know, and come back to it. The magic's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're the source.
Yeah. You know, I've always found it interesting because I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I've been in the entrepreneur space for a very, very long time. And so you always hear about like the hustle, you know, and everyone, you know, like grind nose to the grindstone, you know, work today. So you like, nobody wants to, so you can live like no one can later, or whatever that metaphor is. I always mix it up. Sounds great when someone else actually reads it off properly. And there's, and that's part of it. Like, I do totally get the whole idea of hard work, yeah, but there's hard work and there's burnout work. And I find that burnout work comes because people are trying to work hard, but they don't necessarily know what they should be doing. And so they try a bunch of different things and then it kind of spirals out. But what you're saying, if I'm getting this right, is if someone's in that kind of like, you know, scattered mind kind of a thing, to sit, close your eyes, 10 conscious breaths, that kind of a thing, that in and of itself may reset that go, 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 almost like hyper anxious mentality.
Yes.
That will back down and allow you to think clearly. Did I get that?
Yeah, right? You got that perfect. And you actually nailed it spot on, Rebecca, because it's about your mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in back-to-back meetings all day long, your brain is not designed, it's not created to go from train of thought A to train of thought B to train of thought C, back mm-hmm. to back to back. You need time to focus, to mm-hmm. concentrate, to reset, to reground. You know, I think, and I'm sure your clients have struggled with this, being really honest, this used to be a huge challenge for me. Mm-hmm. It's just giving myself permission mm-hmm. to reset and take care of myself. And it, practically speaking, right, if you're in back to back meetings, right, think about giving yourself permission to break 5 minutes early. Right. And telling the meeting facilitator at the top of the hour, hey, just as a quick courtesy heads up, I got a hard stop. I got to break 5 minutes before we end so I can go prep for my next call. Mm-hmm. People will respect that, right? People respect your boundaries. You don't need to be on
as
all the time.
As long as you set them. And this
exactly.
is where people, they think that, oh, well, you know, it's disrespectful to do that, or, you know, I can't do that. And one of the things, I read this in this great book, The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes, I think it is. Where is that book? I have it somewhere. It's in there. It's in my mix. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Chet Holmes. That's right. That's the one it is. And he was like at the stage of working like 90-hour work weeks, you
wow.
know, and he would spend all day with what he called got a minute meetings, you know, got a minute, got a minute, got a minute, got a minute. Yeah. And all of his minutes went out the window. And then he took all of his work home in the evenings and weekends. So
wow.
it was really
super unhealthy.
Down. But what yeah. he did is similar to what you say, like as a courtesy, just letting you know up front, what he did with his team, because he was working for large teams, like 30 people.
Okay.
He put up a sign-up sheet outside his door at like two or three times in the day. He would say, you're going to get 10 minutes of my undivided attention. Just let me know when you're going to come in. So you'd sign it up. Whatever question you had, that's yeah. when you got to ask him. And what was amazing was those, first of all, the got a minute meetings completely stopped. He went from 90 hours to 40
nice.
On a dime.
Wow.
And people learned to deal with shit themselves.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's true.
Because you
true.
Create dependencies. If you say, oh, well, no, I can't let myself not be available. Well, that's just martyrdom and also, you know, business suicide, because
it
you
is.
Are going to, you're not leaving enough time for yourself. So I get a boatload of stuff done, but I'm very clear on what my boundaries are, right? So when I start, when I stop, when
yes.
you are not allowed to contact me, or like knock your socks off, but I'm not answering you back. Why?
Right.
Because I don't want to, because I'm
right.
not going to create that dependency, because your emergency is not my emergency. My
That's powerful.
Your agenda is not my agenda. I
yeah.
respect people.
Sure.
And I mean, obviously, you know, if something's actually on fire, then you deal with it. But I think there's that very fine balance we need to strike for ourselves. And even with our families, like I had a client whose husband, bless his soul, would come down in the morning and just start chit-chatting with her. Like he didn't work till later on in the day, but
okay.
her work time was in the morning. And so she'd turn around and, you know, just chat and whatever and go on and on, which was fine, except she wasn't getting anything done. So I said to her, I'm like, just, you know, he loves you, so he's going to respect you too.
Yeah.
You just need to ask for it and just be nice. You can say it
nice.
With grace. You don't have to say it with
Absolutely.
Anger. Say
Absolutely.
It with grace. So she did. And he's like, oh, no problem. We'll chat about it later. And she's like, blink, blink. It was that easy. And then
that easy.
Her productivity like tripled.
Yes.
And so it's a matter of doing that as well. So tell me, Brian, I kind of know the answer to this question, but I want to hear your take to this question. You talk about the transitions, like back-to-back-to-back meetings, and
yeah.
a lot of the sort of the high level executives I deal with, they can't get out of that. Like there's no way to get out of that. It's very difficult for them to get work done during their day. And so they're kind of stuck with what they're stuck with. But in those moments when you're trying to, you're saying, having a concentrated conversation about one thing and you're flipping over, say you're talking to supply chain and now you're going to marketing, or you're talking about sales and now you're in the R&D group. How do you make those transitions without dragging that stress with you throughout the day?
I think you've got to consciously break and reset. It goes back to, not to be a broken, parrot or anything, but it goes back to breathing and consciously thinking about how you want to show up in that next meeting, right? You almost have to like consciously say to yourself, either out loud or at least at a minimum in your mind, that's that, right? You know, put a pin in it. It's table it for now. And then consciously think, okay, how do I want to show up
for the next thing,
for the next meeting? Mm-hmm. And, but let's back up, right? Let's talk about a morning routine. Mm-hmm. You know, high functioning executives, leaders, influence, I don't care who you are. If you want to win your day, you got to learn to win your morning. All of my clients, that's like the number one favorite thing they learn by coaching. Oh my God, Brian, I started to win my morning and now I'm crushing my day. So what do? In your morning, you're thinking about and you're designing your calendar at the beginning of your week, right? You know, and by the way, I don't buy that. I don't buy the excuse, frankly, you know, candidly, because I've heard so many leaders give me the same excuse. I can't control my calendar. Yes, you can. That is an excuse, right? If the Fortune 100 CEOs can organize their calendar, and I know a number of them that have, to where they're not meeting back to back, they have at least a 30-minute break between every meeting, then you can do it too. It goes back to your point earlier. Do you have the courage to delegate more and to admit when you're truly not needed and or adding value? You know, so there's that whole dynamic. But to get back to your question, right, if you're in one of those days where for whatever reason, and I get it, right, I've been in corporate for two decades, it's your extended leadership team meeting and you're the one that's facilitating it. And then it's a key business strategy meeting for a business case that you're submitting to the president of your business unit right after that. And maybe there's some back-to-backs and you've got a string of those that are truly are required. You've got to find some way to give yourself permission to break. Like if you're the meeting facilitator and you've got a meetings two back-to-back half hours from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, why don't you try shifting your first meeting from 11:10 to 11:30 and then shifting your second meeting from 11:30 to 11:50? Mm-hmm. If you set the intention and communicate to all of your meeting participants, hey, we're going to get as much done as we can in 20 minutes, and we're going to continue the conversation the next time if we don't get to it all. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. We're all busy. I'm going to give you 10 minutes back. That is huge, right? You just created for yourself a 20-minute break within that hour window to alleviate some of that pressure and burden.
But what that also does is it forces the meetings to be actually efficient. No back and forth, you know, so show up prepared. You know, one of my clients, they do pre-reads. So before there's a meeting, everyone gets the decks. So the decks are completed right up at the end of it. Everyone has to get the decks in the night before for the next day's meetings. So you're always one day ahead of the schedule. Yeah. And so you go in, everyone's like, yep, we agree, or I have this question, and then out you go. And so it creates this efficiency model where, you know, everyone, you know, has the same expectations, prepare ahead of time. Creates an amazing culture of productivity and then forces the meetings to actually be really, really efficient. So even if you have to have more of those, there's greater chance for there to be gaps in the in between so that you have those breaks where you can do your research time, right? So a lot of organizations offer their staff time to just noodle around on whatever. Google does it. 3M was one of the first ones to do it.
Yes.
And Tesla does it.
Learning days.
You need those. Like I schedule in for myself learning.
Yes.
Mondays and Fridays. Those are my learning, researching, working on the business, imagining, coming up with new different ideas. My coaching times as much as I possibly can are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And then if I need to, I've got overflow or screw up days because, you know, stuff goes sideways. I got a client today in California, just hit a rough patch. And she's like, you know what? I can't be there. Like I need to be there for you and for herself. So she went hiking and I just rebooked her in another time, right?
Good for her.
That's what she needs. Yeah, it's quite a process. Amazing what people are going through and how truly resilient they are. So But again, part of the challenge that she's having, and she's doing this, taking care of herself, and she's even taking it to the next level. I need to actually leave. I need to go and do this. I need to recover. I need, because there's traumas from many, many years ago that have been pushed away, and now they can no longer be pushed away. And you kind of have to honor that for yourself.
Yes.
You know, if she was me, or if I was her, I'd do the same thing. Yeah. Yes, the coaching session is absolutely important. But what's most important is I'm kind of being, you know, called away, and I need to do this. It's like sometimes I have to take a nap in the middle of my day. Why? Because my brain is literally just melting.
Yes,
and I felt fantastic afterwards.
Yes, yes. I today, I'm so glad you mentioned that, right? I think, again, it goes back to permission. We need to learn to be good to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Especially with all this crap and bad news and negativity going on right now. Mm. People need to learn how to stop being their own toughest, worst critic, right? Study after study after study have proven that in recent years, or I should say recent year studies have proven that high performers have a greater tendency to be harder on themselves.
Yeah.
They don't celebrate their wins. Mm-hmm. They don't take time for themselves. I've coached a number of coaches, and I've spoken to managers and leaders of those coaches, and the comments are consistent. You know, coaches have the hardest time preaching and, you know, sorry, practicing what they preach and taking care of their own selves. But, you know, when we give ourselves permission to not be on all the time, that's where it all begins, right? We need to learn to do that. And to your point, right? When you do that, then you can take breaks. You can take an extended lunch hour. Why? Because you just know you busted your chops and gave it 120% for 10 hours the day before.
Yep.
And so you're not going to feel bad or guilty about taking an hour, hour and a half, 2 hour lunch break to go catch up with your girlfriend or your best bud that you haven't seen in a month. You know, or taking a nap. Like today, I took a 25 minute nap. I get to bed wicked late last night. Not norm, you know, not my norm, thankfully. Didn't sleep really well. I know you were, we're chatting a few minutes ago, so you're aware of it. But for our audience, right, I got to bed late. I woke up at like 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, had a long, hard time getting back to sleep. And when I did, it was never deep or sound. So even though I did my breathing today, even though I did some Qigong, I kept like super hydrated. I've been downing like 3, 4, 5 of these in the last couple of hours alone. I'm still tired, you know? And so I took a nap. I lay down for 25 minutes. And to your point, I opened up, you know, I opened up my eyes. I got back up. I did some breathing and I felt so much better. You know, I had a little bit of gas left in the tank to finish my day. So
And that's sometimes all we need. We just need that little bit of extra gas to get us through, and then whatever we need to do. I think as an entrepreneur, I was also on that super hamster wheel of, you know, work hard, working 90 hour weeks. I felt like a bit of a superhero when I first started doing it. And then, you know, after year, you know, continued to pass and it didn't abate and it kept going. I realized I'm addicted to this.
Yeah,
I'm addicted to it. It's an addiction, and it's not a good addiction. But it's a behavioral addiction that you can absolutely start breaking. It starts with commitment. It starts with your calendar. Like, again, I say this all the time, you know, commitment and cowardice shows up in the calendar. So if you're going to commit to something, absolutely. One of the ways I broke my habit is I forced myself into time blocking. And then, you know, I put in when I'm going to do work things, and sometimes I would let it slip. So now I have an accountability partner. I talk to him every Friday, and every Friday he hounds me until I give him a snapshot of my calendar where I've shown the next week where I've got slots to work on my business, not just let things kind of happen and then you kind of move along. So sometimes you need that. Sometimes you don't. Some consistency is something I've never terribly been great at. And it's one of my 2020 words, you know, dumpster fire as this year has been. There's a lot of really good stuff that I think we can pull out of this. And, you know, so people working from home, that's a whole switch. Now, most of us have gotten used to it. I still have so much respect for people with small children. I've got five kids,
same but here.
Two
same
are in their 20s and three are in their teens. So they kind of manage themselves.
Yeah.
If this was like 10 years ago, I think I'd shoot myself.
I'm with you. I'm with you. My heart really goes out to parents like that.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, you don't have time for a 25 minute nap. I totally get that. But we always have time for three conscious breaths. And in Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, that's one thing that I pulled from that book that I absolutely adored, because three conscious breaths can be the equivalent of 2 hours of meditation. But wow. Three deep, deep breaths, probably with your eyes closed, like you already mentioned, to really enhance that whole experience. And you can get the equivalent of 2 hours of meditation. That's it's like powerful. Closing your eyes gives you 80% of the benefits of sleep, right? So you're getting some rest. You're allowing yourself to recharge at some level. So anyone who's like, well, I don't have time for that. Yeah, you do. You do have time for that. You like you literally you go to the bathroom, sit in the toilet and close your eyes for a second if you have to.
Right. Yeah.
But you can always do that. And I think that's a really good example. So Brian, if there's one more thing you wanted to share with the listeners tonight who are maybe super overwhelmed, we've got school stuff, we've got work stuff, we've got the COVID uncertainties, we've got politics in the US, possibly here in Canada too. What would you say to someone today who is staring down the barrel of all of this uncertainty and overwhelm, and give them just a little tip on what they would do to kind of help that go forward, to not lose their energy throughout the day?
I would say make rest a priority, right? Give yourself permission to rest, take a full day and just unwind, unplug, rest and recharge. I did that a few months ago in the summertime. I just took a me day. I did a lot of prep for our upcoming summit that starts tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I share more of my story of how I recovered successfully from adrenal fatigue and burnout, because I was on that same hamster wheel addiction that you talked about. And the way that I got off of that and what I'd share was, you just have to be intentional about your self-care. Mm-hmm. And that starts with having the humility to evaluate your priorities versus your reality.
Right.
And just, I would just share and encourage our audience who's listening right now, write down your top five priorities. Should take you no more than 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. God, family, friends, right? Whatever job, whatever they are. And then ask yourself an honest question. Rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 5 or 0 to 10 on each of those priorities. How am I doing? Mm-hmm. How have I been showing up for each of those five priorities for the last 2 or 3 months? And if the answer is not like what you want it to be, then write down at least one practical suggestion that you're going to start doing for each of those priority areas, and block it off, Rebecca, to your point, right? Mm-hmm. You can't measure what you don't monitor, right? Yeah. That's like corporate metrics and success measures and KPIs 101.
Yep.
So set that intention, make time, schedule time for it. Like, this is when I'm going to do it, because it's so important. But my biggest encouragement is, we need you, right? You've got amazing gifts and talents and graces, and this world needs you, right? Mm-hmm. Don't give up, my friends, right? So take time for yourself. We need you on your A game.
But you know what I think would be a really cool way of looking at that is to treat that day. And it could be like one day a month.
Yes.
You actually treat it like a vacation, and you plan for it like you plan for a vacation, and you look forward to it like you look forward to vacation.
Yes.
And then you commit to it and you let it happen. That might be really cool. I think I might try that. I like that idea.
That's powerful.
And I like the whole idea, the whole me day. I don't take many me days. I take them sporadically, like when I get them, but I don't plan for them. And certainly not during my week. Well, that's really cool. Brian, thank you so much for sharing your ideas.
Thank you.
The age of overwhelm and anxiety kind of seems to have ratcheted up 7,000% this year. I know I really appreciate it. And I'll speak on behalf of my listeners. They certainly do too. So thanks for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Have a good one.